liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Here.
Crunch?
Here.
Needhammer? Page? Salomon?
Here.
Quorum present? Mayor, I'd like to, or Mayor Pro Tem, I'd like to ask if you could add the item right away of excusing Commissioner Page and Mayor Needhammer from attending tonight's meeting.
I'll make a motion that we excuse Commissioners Page and our Mayor Tom Needhammer from this meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carried.
First item of business is our consent agenda. And the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business. To receive full discussion, such results will automatically be respected. We have four items tonight. First item is approval of the March 2nd, 2020 commission meeting work session. Minutes as presented. Approval of the March 3rd, 2020 city commission regular meeting minutes as presented. Approved and authorized preliminary budget review work session on Thursday, March 19th at 4:30 in the Parkview Room. Approval to contract with Cummins Bridgeway for an annual generator maintenance for water, wastewater operations in the amount of $2,887.09 and authorize the city manager to execute the document.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Conklin?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Hearing citizens' comments, and we have none on hand tonight. Correspondence? I believe we just have our monthly update on our budget, and next item is the city manager's report.
A couple items for you today, just to report that we had a very successful election here last Tuesday. It's amazing how the world has changed since then, and that's only been a week away. 834 people voted in the presidential primary, and all things went very well. New computers and connections with them helped keep things moving very smoothly, and we're now on to the scheduled May school election. The previously approved Folsom Street vacation easement paperwork was created by the city attorney and has been filed, so that should be moving towards its actual vacation shortly. Over the weekend, the city's aerial fire truck returned to the city and to full service. So that had been gone for a little over a week, maybe 2 weeks, as they worked on some of the controls and other items for the aerial. With one truck coming, another one left, the wastewater department's Vactor, which is our sewer sucker truck, was taken downstate last week for repairs as well. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but the street sweeper was out for the first time this morning, getting things cleaned up on some of our curb and gutter streets around town. And then this afternoon, some of our other sweepers were out and cleaning the regular pathways and sidewalks this afternoon as well. So those are out a little bit earlier than we normally would get them out, but specifically with regards to the pathways and sidewalks that we clean, we're trying to get them a little bit cleaned up, thinking that people might want to use them to get out and get some fresh air and have less things to stumble over. A few COVID-19 updates for you. Obviously, you noticed that your meeting spacing is further away from each other to try and provide you that 6-foot barrier. So we have signs up to encourage audience members that do attend to keep their safe distances. And as was brought up earlier, I've had necessary staff members or people that weren't needed to be here at tonight's meeting, just stay away to keep them healthier as long as possible. Currently, we're planning to close the entire city facilities building to the public until further notice, except for public meetings. Unless there's some objection by the commission, I'm going to put up the signs for that after this meeting. We checked with MSU Extension. That works well for them. They're all going to be working remotely as well. At the current time, we'll be staffing the building, and people can reach us by phone, email, or regular mail during but the phone and emails during office hours. We'll continue to evaluate staffing levels and hours. Our drop box on the drive island near the entrance is available 24/7 for people to leave materials for us. And we're taking this action out of, you know, again, the changing events to try and keep our people and the public safe and just kind of seeing what the norm is with most of the city hall or other governmental facilities in the area. The pickup only and parking signs that we just had made are now up and set up earlier today. Chief Spate was able to get these signs made up at a local stencil shop in the business park where Brownie Maskow's office used to be, the 1-800 Stencils, and they did a great job. And it's nice to be able to do that locally. And those are up and about. We're getting pretty good comments with regards to people taking those steps that we can to help. The Chamber of Commerce had a board meeting today. They usually meet across the hall in the Parkview room, but they did it electronically for them. They aren't following the same rules that we are. They don't need to. But anyway, at their meeting, they determined that they were going to cancel all of their events through April at this point. So any Chamber's functions, sponsored event is canceled through the end of April. And they're already starting to take a look at what are drop date, dead dates to have to make the decisions for the Mushroom Festival and things beyond that as well, too. So, you know, we're all just kind of, you know, a lot of stuff saying, well, think the school's going to be going or closed until early April. We'll see if those dates hold or not. So, we have applied for a Redevelopment Ready Communities Fellowship position. This is something that they're making available on an annual basis. If successful, we would receive a person for 15 months to help us with business community development related projects at no cost to at a cost to us, excuse me, of $6,000. I have included the funding for that in the Business Park EDC LDFA budget that you'll be looking at soon. They're scheduled to be making a decision on who is successful in this matter this week, and we'll see if that stays on schedule, but I'll let you know how that works out. We have James Manco back with us today to be sworn in. So whenever Cindy is ready to do that.
I'm ready.
So James.
Is it 6 feet away from me?
Sure.
Raise your right hand and then say, I will, you
know.
I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will faithfully discharge, perform the duties of the Office of Deputy Treasurer, City of Boyne City, County of Charlevoix, State of Michigan, according to the best of my ability.
I will.
There you go. I'm going to have you sign right here where the X is.
Okay.
Right, lefty.
Sheboygan County, he has 11 years from Sheboygan County, the last four as their finance director, and we're very pleased to have James here with the city of Boyne City. We're very fortunate. James, have a few things you'd like to say?
Well, I'd just like to thank Cindy, thank the city manager, and thank the city commissioners for hiring me, and I look forward to serving as the new deputy treasurer. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Welcome.
Congratulations, Jim.
Thank you.
Welcome to the team.
Yeah. It's a great group of people.
Two final items that I have at this point. With the melting of snow over the last couple of weeks, we've noticed more damage, which has become apparent. We're considering how to deal with these situations. You know, is the water going to go, we can do more damage right away. But we've budgeted some extra money in our parks budget to help begin to deal with it. You'll see that as you go through the budgets as well. And I hope each of you are having a good St. Patrick's Day. I sent greetings of the day to our friends in the Boyne Valley of Ireland. In honor of the day, I brought out one of their gifts that they left behind for us. It's at the Mayor Pro Tem's place, and there's some extra glasses there. We want to have a little grab of their one of the gifts they left behind. I thought if we could do that, we'd take a little picture toasting them, and we could send that to them as well. So if you're interested, stick around for a couple minutes afterwards. If you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Sure. One, I saw the street sweeper on the vision, and it was doing a great job, a really good job. And with the redevelopment position, Mike, is that a college student or somebody, a fourth year or something?
It's at least a college student, is the impression I get. They were a little vague in their description. I think they advertised the position, and that runs through the MEDC with the recruitment process as well, too. We're involved, if we are successful and get selected, we're involved in the selection process of that person as well too. So we'll see if we're selected, then two, just to see what candidates are available and things of that nature. But they basically pay the person for a full-time position for the 15 months. They're available for us to do whatever development growth-related projects that we have. Since we're looking to have this position paid out of the EDC LEFA funds associated with the business park, I hope that they can help us work on like 425 or other agreements on that, maybe do some recruitment. But also, they can help us with a lot of other projects throughout the communities too. If we want to do a low and moderate income survey, they could help with that. Downtown business recruitment, help with the Lofts on Lake Street project. I just think, depending on what this person's skill set is, again, if we're successful, it might be somebody that can provide us some additional staffing at a very low cost for well over a year.
Yeah,
it seems like a good deal. We thought it was worth a try.
Okay, our next item of business is reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. And the only item we have tonight is the February financial report. Any questions in regards to that financial report?
Nothing me.
Okay, move on. We have no old business. We'll start with new business tonight. The Michigan Department of Natural Resources Land and Water Conservation Fund grant application. Request for the open space trail and pathways.
Tim? Okay, thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. As you know, we've been going through a public process for some time to develop plans for both the open space and Avalanche. What we have before you are some drawings that show the phasing, first for the open space, and attached with the City Commission package is the recommendation, first up, to apply for a grant in April of 2020 for the open space. That would be our primary choice. And that grant would be packaged in such a way that of the $1.3 million worth of proposed improvements to the open space, we would carve out about $376,000 of those expenses, apply for a 50-50 grant through the MDNR Land and Water Conservation Fund, and that is actually federal money that flows back to the state, and then that flows down to the various communities that make application for it. So we would recommend applying for phase one, and if you look at the drawing, phase one would include the non-motorized pathway, which is a 10-foot wide pathway made of concrete along the eastern edge of the property. That would be consistent with the trails plan that we've been working on with C2AE for this stretch from the city center out to West Michigan Avenue. And then included with it the pedestrian pathway that would wrap around the southwest and north side of the site. So it wouldn't just provide kind of non-motorized users access to the property. It would also provide for, you know, walkers and joggers and the like to use the open space kind of right out of the gate in year number one. So working with the consultant, we feel that this is a package that would look attractive to the Land and Water Conservation Fund for funding. While the match is higher at 50%, there's a much stronger likelihood of success in getting one of these grants. Now, if the commission agrees to move forward with that, with this as our first request, then we would make application in April. By December, we would find out from the DNR whether or not we're one of the successful projects. Then it takes about 5 months to get the agreements in place. So it wouldn't be until June of 2021 when we could really start letting any contracts, except for some design work for the improvements to the open space. So construction, you'd be looking at kind of the July, August through the end of the construction season in 2021 through the first part of 2022 to actually complete this work. But it's 50% matching dollars, and these are significant investments if the commission decides to move forward, and we felt it was in the city's best interest to do so. There would also be included in phase one the two crosswalks that are shown on the drawings across North Lake Street. And then there's 18 street trees that would also be part of the phase one improvements. So again, the total amount is $376,600. The city would be obligated to come up with 50% of that money during the 2020-2021 and 2021-22 fiscal year budgets. That's really it, unless you have any specific questions about phasing and about the reasons why we think phase one would be a good project to apply.
Thanks, Ken. Do we have any comments from the James? Okay,
none.
We'll move to commission. Dean?
Yeah, the only thing I was wondering about that, certainly in light of events of the past month, certainly week or so, about our $188,000 commitment, I trust that would come from our fund balance.
It would either come from fund balance or it would come from how we budget in those coming fiscal years.
Okay.
As you look through your budget that you have in front of you, you'll see that we have about $300,000 worth of park improvements that are proposed for this coming year. Mm-hmm. And we could back some of those down and possibly be able to fill that just by focusing on that one project or doing other things with regards to the budget to make that up. So we possibly could fund that all in one operating year without having to draw on the fund balance, but it all depends on what other project we want to do.
Sure. You know, certainly our first obligation, priority, and potentially difficult economic time is to protect our core city services and to protect our employees. And do you think there's anything about this that would obligate us now in such a way that we couldn't withdraw an application or to say, well, we can't do it now because of events?
In a worst-case scenario, I think we could take some of those options that you mentioned as well, too. We also have a period of years, if we were successful in getting the grant, to actually implement it. So we could either build up a fund for it over a couple of years, or hope the times we get, you know, it's not like we get the grant and have to immediately withdraw with regards to it. Obviously, there's a lot of time that's going to go on. This economic shock came to us very quickly. In a perfect world, it would leave us just as quickly. I'm not quite that optimistic, but I think it's appropriate for us to apply at this time, and especially if the economic situation really does turn bad, and we were successful in getting this grant, but then we determined that it wasn't the right time, I'm sure we wouldn't be the only community that would be in that situation. And for us to have to decline something in that scenario, I think would be a lot more understandable to the state than just like, you know, times are normal and we just kind of change our mind type of thing. So I don't think it'd be the end of the world.
Right. Okay, great, thank you.
So, Tim, in the conservation easement, some things have to be done this summer, right? Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, the only thing that's required within the first 24 months is the removal of the asphalt at the south end of the site. And the asphalt along the edge of the road. The asphalt to the north is, I think we have 48 months. Remove that?
Yes, there's a longer period.
I'm searching here. So that would be the main changes that are needed to be done soon.
So that would be removed this summer or fall or whatever?
Right, by November of 2020 would be the 2-year period.
So once we did phase one, how do you see the rest of it coming together? Or, you know, how many, there's 5 phases, I think you said?
There are. Yeah, so I would see the next logical phase would be the parking lot. That would create the parking for, you know, the additional users that we anticipate coming to the park. Then phase 3 moves into the, if you will, the overlook area that kind of, it's a wooden boardwalk that overlooks Lake Charlevoix. It's going to be cantilevered, if you remember the consultant talking about it, so that there's no penetrations being made into the lake, simplifies the permits, etc. Then phase 4 is completion of really the center area and the furnishings around the site, like benches and picnic tables and things like that. And the final phase is the playground area just immediately east of the beach. So unless there's a particular grant that pops up that really targets one of those phases over another, I would, you know, pretty much see that logical phasing happening.
So does this grant have a history of if you apply 1 year, you get another one the next year? There's history like that?
I don't believe there's any guarantee on that with land and water conservation.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think we should move forward and get it done kind of thing just as soon as we can. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I like it, you know.
Can I ask one additional question, follow-up question?
Sure.
So with all those, while that phasing, what would be, do you think, a realistic timeline to really complete everything?
Well, I originally scheduled the phasing out over 3 to 4 years in the capital improvement plan, but the cost came in higher than I had originally expected for the various improvements. So, you know, I think it just adds that additional year. So it depends on, you know, what kind of funding might be available, one through the general fund or other sources locally, and then matching grants.
I think this could be something, once we got one phase done, that you could really get the community behind it and raise money. And I think people are really looking forward to this being done. And, you know, I'm really optimistic about that. So, are you ready for the motion then?
Yeah, I support this recommendation also. Call for a motion.
There's a model resolution in the packet.
You don't have to read the whole resolution. You can adopt by reference.
Adopt the resolution as presented here, resolution number. Yep. I would make a motion that the City Commission approve the resolution to apply for a grant from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources Council Land Trust. Open.
Trust fund grant?
rather than...
Yeah, based on Beckett and Rader's look at the amount of money and the number of applications that come in for the three different Michigan Recreation Grants, the trust fund is the largest. It's about 20 of the 23 million. That has the highest percentage of applications because it's got the lowest amount of match. It's got a 25% match instead of 50. So their experience has been that those that have applied for the $2.5 million that's allocated to land and water conservation generally are more successful.
Thank you. Okay, call for a vote.
Grunge?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, our next item of business is Michigan Department of Natural Resources Grant and Water Conservation Fund Grant.
Okay. Yeah, again, thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. This would be our backup application. So between now and April 1st, we're going to administratively go through all the paperwork electronically that's required to make the submission. If we find out at any point that there's any issues relative to the open space application, then we would have the ability, without having to call a special meeting of the City Commission, to get a resolution and support to file this as the second grant application. It's not our intent to apply for two, it's our intent to only make application for one. But if we run into something between now and April 1st that we see is problematic with the grant application for open space, then we would kind of punt and go to the Avalanche. Just kind of for your reference, the Avalanche plan that's shown up on the drawing on the screen depicts 5 to 6 different phases of construction and about $2 million of improvements, excluding that future access road if and when Park Street is extended to become kind of the main entrance for Avalanche. So this one was a little bit more challenging to determine exactly which part to do first, because there's existing infrastructure, if you will, in the way, infrastructure that you have to work around. And because of the significant size of the projects at this location, we would need to be able to, for example, leave the existing warming hut in operation while we construct perhaps the first phase. So that was part of the objective with the phasing for this grant, for this application. What we would focus on is the sledding hill. Right now it's one combined hill. We would divide that hill with a ridge down about 2/3 of the width across the hill, and have kind of like a larger kids sledding hill on the west side that will go a little bit higher up, and then a smaller kids heading sledding hill on the east side. Both would terminate roughly in the same location and just wouldn't be as high on the kids side. So the area that's kind of penciled out in red is the area where they would strip the topsoil, reshape the hill, and then eventually re-sod it. It would also include the removal of the existing asphalt ice rink and replace that ice rink with a grass surface similar to what's done at the Winter Sports Park in Petoskey. Not as large as Petoskey's, but from a design concept, a similar type of rink. It would also include a roughly 900 square foot overlook area and a little wooden boardwalk about halfway up the hill. The location is to be kind of determined when we get into the detailed design, but there was a desire to have that back in the previous Avalanche master plan, and then that came up again during this planning study, so that was included. And then to do a limestone trail from the bottom of the hill, if you will, up to that overlook, and that will also coincidentally be where the stairs generally kind of take off from. And then build the trail that would wrap around the future lodge building at the east end of the site to the various trailheads. And at those trailheads, we would erect some large timber arches that would define disc golf, hiking and walking trail, and then mountain bike trail, and then one arch that would kind of define the trail to the top of the hill, also kind of a walking trail. So those are the primary elements that are in phase one of the work at Avalanche, the idea being you would work the hill first, and then from a construction staging standpoint, kind of get working on the parking lot next, and the building last, and then some of the other ancillary facilities and improvements kind of in the final phases, including the new entrance off of Park Street. So there's quite a bit of work that would be involved in Avalanche, although a lot of the work is associated with moving earth and planting soil, so it's a little less costly. It comes in about $350,000 compared to the $376,000 for the open space. So we're trying to get something that's in the average grant range of about $200,000 for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and that's how we packaged together this phase one.
Thank you, Ken. I understand the logic, and this was presented to the Parks and Recreation the other day, so I had an opportunity to think about it. And I guess the hesitation that I have is I really think we should keep our focus on the open space, because if we don't get it, if there's some hiccup, if we apply for it next year, I think it's okay. Whereas if we get a grant for Avalanche, we're starting phase one of five phases, and I don't know the likelihood of getting one another grant for the open space. But I would really like to just see us focus on the open space and get that done for tackling Avalanche. Because I could just see some of it's going to get done and then it's probably going to sit for a bit. And I think we could do some just basic improvements up there with not too much money, just to improve it until we do have the, once the open space is done. But I would really like us to see, you know, just be laser-like on the open space and get it done and do a great job and have that, rather than doing Avalanche during one phase and then not kind of knowing what's going to happen down the road. That's my thought.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. It's an important, the open space is an important priority, it's very visible, and I think in the survey, there were a lot of comments about, comments about the open space, and some about, some comments about not being in the greatest shape, and that's still a priority, so I think it would be a better decision for us to make sure that we keep, even if we still be here on this grant, to really focus on that, get that. And in the meantime, you know, maybe we can carve out a little bit of money to fix some issues, perhaps at Avalanche. The gully erosion is a big one. If we can get that under control, it seemed like that might be something that we could accomplish without too much of an investment that would help at least stabilize the things there. As much as I'd like to do everything all at once, you know, Avalanche is wonderful, the open space is wonderful, but I think having that clear priority on open spaces is a better way for us to go.
So my thought process was that, you know, looking at this was the this was a backup plan in case that the opportunity fell through on the open space plan. And the other question is too, if we just go for the one, would we go in for more money for the open space right now? No, it would still be the same amount of money.
Correct. The way that this is being presented by the administration, it's one or the other. We would apply for one or the other. And the reason we brought these to you with a backup plan is because the open space project hasn't closed out yet, and we're looking for guidance from the state with regards to whether that's going to be a viable application this year within this time frame. So, I mean, I'm fine with the commission's sentiment. I can understand if we want to stay focused on it. As long as we are all of the awareness that if you're fine with the slip, possibly a slip in a year, then this actually makes it easier for us right now.
Well, we'll remove the pavement on the north side, or the south side, right? This,
Well, it's not going to be this summer. If I would think of anything, it's going to be this fall, because we're not going to want to be tearing up the park in the middle of the construction season. But I think you had budgeted for that in the budget. So, yes, I mean, it's on the schedule, assuming we have the budget. So there will be some improvements. And we've talked about, you know, is there ways to, you know, do something with the lawn or something of that nature, just to kind of start spiffing it up without putting big money in there at this point.
And that bike trail is there now. There's a trail now.
Yeah, it's usable. It's certainly not anywhere near as good as what we have here. And there's opportunities that we and the crew could do some, you know, we're supposed to, could be, there's some fine tuning we could do to make it more presentable. So.
Yeah, I think there's some basic things we can do at Appalachia that wouldn't require a lot of money either. It just make it look better. So if we have a hiccup this year with the issue from when the property was purchased, will that go away by next year?
Well, we would hope so, but again, we'll have a much better feel for that. And then, you know, as we're revisiting an application next year, whether it's for a second phase, we got past that hiccup. But if we didn't get it, we would know, okay, this isn't going to work. It's a longer term issue, or we got the green light. Yeah. I wouldn't want to project at this point or predict at this point.
Is that 180,000 number that's been?
No, we have a balance of 223 or something like that thousand. That is the final payment, and that all ties in with this closure.
So that would be coming from the land grant.
That's from the previous grant to acquire the property.
Correct.
Again, that all ties back to the closure of that grant.
So my personal feeling is we should just not move forward with the second grant for Appalachia and concentrate on the open space.
If that's the commission's desire, you can either take no action whatsoever and just move on to the next agenda item, and so then you don't have to say no, so to speak. Or you could actually pass some consider a motion to not approve the staff's recommendation to move forward, or again, you could approve a motion to go forward.
Yeah, I think maybe if we just move on. I don't think we have to take an action.
Are you okay with that, Ron?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like Mike said, it will simplify what we have to do.
Yeah, and recognize, like you said, it may slip a year, you know.
Yeah, again, as long as we're all fine with that, then
so,
yeah. We'll take a harder run at it next year if we don't make it this year.
Right. Next item on the agenda is the aeration blower motor replacement.
Yes, the commission may recall that a couple meetings ago, Mark came to us and talked about two blower motors out of the wastewater treatment plant that had failed. These are two of the four blower motors that we have out there. The other two are operating fine, so we're not in any problems there. And we had two quotes from different providers with regards to the type of work that we did. We went with a professional pump, and they gave us a price to come up and remove them and take them down to their shop, and then give us a further estimate as to what it would take to replace or repair. In Mark's memo, he gives you the prices for both the replacement and the repairing. There isn't that much difference between them. So we're recommending that the City Commission approve us replacing both of the blower motors. In doing that, we get a three-year warranty with the new motors after they're installed versus a 90-day warranty on the fixed motors. So altogether, we're thinking it's a better long-term investment to spend a little extra money at the 7120 and have them proceed with the replacement of the pump.
Okay.
Great.
I'm good. I'm good also. I'm going to call for
a vote. I'll move to approve the purchase and installation of two new blower motors for the wastewater treatment plant in the amount of $7,120 from a professional pump and authorize the city manager to execute the document.
I'll second. Roll call.
Solomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Next item of business is the budget presentation.
Yes. You have at your places today the budget presentation book for the coming fiscal year, which will start on May 1st. Included with your budget book, or right next to it, you'll see the 12-year history. That's the long document that you have there for you to review. That gives you 15 years of history to take a look at. The budget before you is proposed to be at $5.3 million, and we'll order rounding here for the general fund, $13.5 million overall across all the city funds. To finance that, we're looking to maintain the city operating millage at the current 15.51 mils. We're looking for a slight increase in the debt millage payments for this facility of 2.25 mils. You may recall we started that out at 2.3, we reduced it last year to 2.2, and this year, based on our analysis and the increasing costs that we have with that on an annual basis, we dealt with 2.25 would be the appropriate level to go to. That would give an overall assessment or overall city millages of 17.76 mils. Basically, this budget, as presented to you, provides for the signing full-time staffing. It does provide for three non-permanent positions, one in the water position, water wastewater department over the summer, one that would be an intern that is shared between the Main Street program and the Chamber of Commerce that would be with us through December, and then also the Redevelopment Ready Communities fellowship position that I mentioned to you as well. You'll see that in reviewing the budget book that it, one, looking back of all the things we accomplished in the current fiscal year that we're wrapping up shortly, but then we also still have a pretty aggressive schedule with regards to equipment replacements and specific projects for various properties around town, whether they're parks or other facilities as well, too. So we think it's a pretty robust budget. We think it's realistic, and we think it's viable. And as you get familiar with it and we talk about it, we look forward to any questions you may have on it. This has been a real challenging process for everybody with regards to it. Cindy had an extra election to factor in this year to during our usual budget plan period. And then over the last couple of weeks, this whole COVID-19 has been a huge distraction for me and a lot of the other staff members to try and stay focused on this. But I have to give kudos to Cindy and the entire city team with regards to their stick-to-itiveness in getting this to you in a complete and, I believe, viable method. In the front of your books, you'll find the current budget schedule that we have that the commission adopted or considered earlier. We did talk about, and may wish to consider a motion, since we kind of talked about it online and then we didn't add it to the agenda, about formally moving the all-day budget work session, assuming that we still want to go forward with it at this time, from Monday the 23rd to Tuesday the 24th. All the commissioners seem to be agreeable to do that. Again, that was as this whole COVID-19 thing was coming together. Our city budget adoption process is spelled out in the charter and the ordinance. Is a little bit unique. Our fiscal year starts on May 1st, but we don't have to adopt the budget until, I think it's the third week in May.
And it doesn't even specify a date in that third week.
So if for some reason the commission wanted to postpone our schedule or push it back and see how things go health-wise and things of that nature, we have the ability to do that. And we could just play that by ear as well, too. If we are going to have some of our sessions, I'm thinking, the session that we're looking at on Thursday, unless for some reason we wanted to do that just by a call-in method because your attendance isn't really necessary because we're not going to be voting on anything of that nature. We we would just make sure that it was open to the public somehow. But if we do meet on Thursday and on the budget work session, the holiday budget work session next week, I would assume we're probably going to meet in here, and we're going to be more spread out than we have been in the past. I really like meeting in the Parkview room, but just for, you know, just health safety reasons, if we want to go forward with this process, I think we need to take some cautionary steps. So anyway, you have the schedule in the front here.
Mike, do you have a recommendation that you've been thinking about?
Well, first, I think we really need to talk about whether we think Thursday session is necessary.
Well, I think Tom's been out of town, and they may self-quarantine for Thursday.
Well, and to be candid to you, that's a really good point. I was thinking about that yesterday. I mean, Sally is not going to be available for the next 2 weeks. She's right. Told us that for sure. And depending on what the situation is, I think she was picking the 2 weeks just because that was the general nature of the advisories initially.
Right.
And that could run longer. So she could be gone from us this entire process, even if we pushed it back to May, if things keep rolling out. You're correct. I was thinking about the same thing. Tom's going to be traveling through the airport, contact with a lot of other people.
Right.
You know, we hope he's well, but we obviously don't want to spread it to us or commissioner or any of the working staff here as well, too. So, you know, I'm thinking either, I guess we have three options for Thursday. I mean, that was something new that we did last year. I found it helpful, but we've done it without it in the past. Is either do it as we're currently scheduled, have some or all of our commissioners do it electronically as an alternate method. And again, we'd have to post it as an open meeting. We'd have to broadcast if we had everybody call and have a speakerphone and have, you know, if somebody from the public wanted to come in, they could hear the conversations going on. But since we aren't taking any official action, and I might want to double check on this, I don't think we're going to have any open meetings act violations. I mean, it'd just be like us getting together. But anyway, but it is deliberating towards a decision. So anyway, we want to be sure on that. And the third one is just, we just don't do it. Or do it at this time.
You know, I think, you know, whatever plan gets us all there in one form or another, whether it's in person or electronically, you know, it's an important process for us. And so I think that I'm certainly minimal to anything that the city staff needs to, they think they need to do to be able to get all the commission education. Even if it means delaying or, you know, the process a little bit or doing the electronic.
I think we should go on a hiatus for at least 2 weeks, you know, that's what everybody, and see where we are then and try and schedule some. I mean, we're all going to be available. Short notice, and I would wait personally.
Well, if you'd like,
we can go through it, and, you know, we can ask you.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And if you feel okay, that we can talk or contact departments and use that, then questions or
whatever. Yeah, by phone or electronically or whatever.
I'll go through you.
Yeah.
You
know, just,
yeah, that's what.
Yeah, we're going to have to be, I think we want to be creative and flexible as we go through this.
Right.
And I mean, if the commission would like me to consider some alternate schedules and opportunities that is presented, you know, I can do that and we'd be reporting to you and the rest of this week if you're
that's what I think you should.
If you want to, at least at this point, we've got the meeting that we've scheduled for the 19th at 4:30. We can leave that on the list for a day or two and we can always cancel that as we get to move forward.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Okay.
But the gist I'm hearing right now is somehow we want to make sure that commission's all together. We want to do the two sessions at, you know, the kind of brief overview session, the couple hour one, and then the more in-depth one following up. So keep the processes, whether they're electronically or some other way or delayed, and go from there.
Okay, so we're going to keep the 19th on the regular agenda.
Correct.
Okay.
For the moment, right?
At least for the moment, yes. We're not changing that at this point.
You can cancel that up to the minute before the meeting, right?
I'll double check. I know it takes 18 hours to have new meeting going into effect. I don't know if there's any limitations off the top of my head with regards to cancellations. We haven't had to do that too much. I mean, we've never done a really short notice before. The only thing that I would think is if we did want to do it, if for some reason we did want to have the all-day budget work session on the 24th, if for some reason that seems like a viable option, it would still, I would recommend that the City Commission consider a motion at today's meeting today, moving it from the 23rd to the 24th. And then if we come, that'll cover that base then if for some reason we do want to go forward. If for some reason we come up with a schedule where we cancel it, we can just cancel it at the same time.
Okay. So moved.
Yeah, I support that motion of moving from the 23rd to the 24th all day budget work session.
I'll second it. Roll call.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunge.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Behind the first page of the schedule, or the second page is with an overall calendar, then there's a couple pages in there that have charts and numbers from MERS to give you an update. This is a year later actuary. We spent a lot of time on this last year, and I wanted to give you their year's latest forecast, which was actually better than last year's by a little bit, but given all that's going on, you know, who knows where in tech we're at right now. And there's some additional information on the payroll for you as well. So other than that, and again, like you said, if we've got any of you, as you're looking at this over, have any questions, feel free to let Cindy or I know, and we'll make sure those questions get to the right person to get your response.
So we're ready for a good of the order?
Unless there's some questions or comments that commissioners have further on this.
Announcements. The budget overview work is scheduled on Thursday, March 19th, 2020 at 4:30. The budget work session.
That's one we just scheduled for the 24th, unless we change it.
Okay. And the next regular commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, April 14th. And this time we make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunge.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Motion carried.